Again, everyone, I'm Leticia Sonon. I work at the University of Georgia, and I would like to acknowledge my colleagues here in this work that we've been doing for a few years, Dave Kissel, Rick Hitchcock, and Jeanette Himau, because this has been a long-drawn project that we have in Haiti. So the title is Practical Soil Testing Procedures, and we based interpretation and recommendation for Haiti's Soil Testing Laboratory. We went there with the right after the big earthquake, in collaboration with a non-government organization, League of Hope, which is based in Atlanta. They approached the president of the University of Georgia on possible help that we can extend to the people of Haiti. So the dean of the College of Agriculture formed a team of experts and basically send them to Haiti to see for themselves how we can help them out. So the goal was to utilize UGA's expertise to help Haitian farmers develop, improve agricultural systems that can produce better, more nutritious food, and less dependence on imported goods. As you know, more than 50% of food in Haiti comes from abroad. So the team toured some farms, including those farms managed by Zanmi Agricole, which is the agricultural arm of the Western Boston-based Partners in Health. Does anybody in the room have visited Haiti? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Wortman. Well, as you can see, when the team came back, they reported, I wasn't part of the team, but they reported there were a lot of denuded areas, barren hillsides, and you can see that the erosion was just a common place. And from the interviews that they made with the farmers, the smallholders, and the researchers in the area, there was a general lack of understanding on proper fertilization. They don't know about different crop varieties and rotation. Soil conservation is not even in their curriculum. And of course, disease and insect control and post-harvest handling were just non-existent. So one of the things that was convenient, because one of the team members is a soil scientist, that soil scientist identified that indeed we need soil testing services in this area. So that's where my role came in. So when they came back to UGA, University of Georgia, we had a meeting, brainstorming of what they found there and what could be the easiest, the first thing that we should be doing. And then someone said we should have a soil testing in that region. Things that I've listed right away is like, well, I have an experience when I was working in the Philippines that you need the well-trained manpower, but before that, you have to have the basic things listed down. The instrumentation should be simple and affordable. As you know, we're talking about a country that is still trying to recover from the earthquake. It should be easy to operate and maintain and with acceptable accuracy. The method should be practical and appropriate for the soils and for the climate. And it should require minimal reagents. And again, acceptable accuracy. I use the word acceptable here because you've got to deal with some degree of accuracy, not the accuracy that we deal with research in the research labs. And of course, it should be easy to follow by properly trained laboratory personnel. One issue that came to mind is it's easy to generate data, but how are we going to make the interpretation of this data? We don't have calibration work. And how can we make recommendations? I'm really glad to hear from Dr. Wortman and the speaker on the other night that there's like a soil survey that's being done in Africa because we don't have that information. I wish it will extend. I think there's also a similar project going on in Haiti. At that time, nothing was going on in terms of soil fertility studies there. So what we did with a small budget that we had, we did extensive literature search, including those methods that were going on in Dominican Republic, those in Africa and Asia, and also those projects those methods that are in the U.S. We were trying to look for a method that would be suited for Haiti soils, and we modified the necessary. And once the methods proved to be working, we identified the simple instrumentation. And simple as we are, because we only had a budget of about $10,000 for this project. So I used a lot of our resources in our lab to come up with this instrumentation. So the list that I have here, you can imagine this, we spent like $10,000 to $12,000 to come up with this instrument. So during the time that there were visits and also researchers going there, we begged for soil samples from Haiti. So we finally got some samples, you know, submitted to the lab from in different times, a total of 20 soil samples at that time. We ran the test, we used calcium chloride to measure pH. Most of the soil tests, our soil pHs were above 6, and basically lime is not needed. That is good for most of the agricultural crops that we would like to see be grown in Haiti. We also finally adapted, after testing, after using several methods, we finally went back to the use of Olsen, the sodium bicarbonate method, because it's really suited for calcareous soils. It's very linear and very easy, and it was working well for this particular soils. And in fact, for the 20 samples that we ran in the lab, Haiti samples, it turned out that if we set the threshold level at 10 milligrams per kilogram, more than 50% of the samples we ran in the lab using this method were deficient in phosphorus. Would the farmers know without soil testing? No. So that's why soil testing is slowly inching its way into being accepted by the farmers right now. For the potassium, soil exchangeable potassium also, we use sodium nitrate extraction and turbidimetric method. Now, the turbidimetric method, simply because we are constrained to use the simple spectrophotometer, or we call it colorimeter, that we bought for the soil testing lab. So we were able to modify several steps, including the use of a vortexor right before you measure the readings, because, as you know, turbidimetry, it's precipitation. If you are not quick enough, the precipitate settles at the bottom. We compared it with the various methods that we have in the lab, also the use of instruments that we have in the lab. The agreement in this case here, I just quickly point out, these two lines are showing that the turbidimetric method, an ICP, which is a standard instrument that we used in the lab, they really agree well in terms of the readings of your exchangeable potassium, if you are talking about sodium nitrate method in extraction. Some labs also use ammonium acetate, so we went ahead and tried ammonium acetate. There were instances that the sodium nitrate using ICP did not match well with the ammonium acetate. As you can see, the green broken line on those on that graph there, depending on the soil. So there must be something more than what we are measuring, but again, we are not in that phase yet. So for the soils that we tested in the lab, I'm just showing here 10 soils out of 20. We found that there's only like 3 soils that were deficient in potassium. And yet we heard that some farmers are applying potassium out in the field. So again, soil testing now is getting its importance there. So the question is, do they have access to inorganic fertilizers, or do you utilize the local fertilizers that you have? So I'm really glad the session is an eye-opener for me, because I will be going back to Haiti to explore other possibilities where to get the fertilizers. Right now, they're getting the fertilizers from Dominican Republic. As you know, the cost of fertilizers is just very expensive. So during the time when we were running the different tests, me and my technician were writing a manual, laboratory manual for Haiti. And as you can see, it's got to be simple again and easily understood. Step two, so the step one was our research. Step two, we have to identify someone from Haiti, from that lab, we can bring into the lab, because we don't believe that no matter how sophisticated your instrumentation is or the method, if you don't have someone with the training and the experience, that whole thing will fail. And we have seen that in some other situations. We tried to bring in one person, not the person in this picture. For 6 months, we tried to bring him in. The U.S. Embassy was saying, no, no, no. Finally, we found someone who is not connected to that university, who was traveling to Dominican Republic back and forth, but he's also an agronomist, Eddie, in that in pink shirt. they finally decided, okay, we will hire this guy, train him first, we'll hire him for the lab. So Eddie came, and then I assigned someone to work with him to try the procedures that we have developed. We limited ourselves to the procedures that we had in the manual, because that was a test whether the manual is really written for easy understanding and easy to follow. Meanwhile, we also have this lady here interviewing him. He's our information officer, just to check whether he is really getting the training right, or if we are training him right. So there were a lot of cross-checking of work, because again, this is a collaborative work between the League of Hope in Atlanta and the University of Georgia. So the trainee was also asked to translate the English manual that we wrote into Creole, because there are only a few people. I had a hard time talking to people in Haiti, because there's only a few of them who can speak English. So Creole was the language. So it was really neat to be seeing a manual converted. So laboratoire, pot, test, sol. Now I have Creole words. But it was neat for this guy to be able to translate that. And then after that, we know that the procedure is really working, watching him do the procedure by himself and then get the data, which we finally said, okay, Eddie, you're ready to go. Go back to Haiti, go to that lab and prepare for the coming of the instruments and the chemicals. So we sent him back to Haiti after a month of training, or more than a month of training. And then a few months later, when we knew that the instruments have already arrived there in Haiti and their agents, that's when I and my colleague went to Haiti. So we had a rigid day and night training to people that they have already pre-identified who will undergo the training. And Eddie, again, in yellow here, was our interpreter, because again, it was Creole. And we were trying to be patient, and we have to really brainstorm before leaving there that we've got to train. The human factor is just as important as the laboratory. Nothing will succeed if you don't have people who don't know how to run the analysis. And it was important for us to explain to them why you do these steps. So it's really like, you know, starting like from kindergarten up to the high school level. And it was good. They selected smart guys that they were also excited to learn the procedure. After the training, we came back here and then we talked to our IT guy. And our IT guy developed a web-based data interpretation and recommendation. So as shown here, we have different crops listed in this line. And then we would have the name of the client and lab information. And in here, we have just two macronutrients tested, P and K, but we have nitrogen based on plant requirement, because we know that there's no residual nitrogen left in the soil. So they have the choice to have a credit, nitrogen credit, either they've been growing legume or manure, and then if not, we will give the recommendation for 200. In this case, this is banana. So again, they would just pick which crop they have there, and in the next slide, that's when how the report would look like, where if they have the test report of 15 for phosphorus, it would end up a recommendation of 10 kilograms per hectare P2O5. Likewise for potassium, if they have 40, they would have a 60 kilograms per hectare K2O. We also have this calibration curve that we provided to them so that they can understand where did we get the 10, where did we get the 60. Okay, so this is the recommendation that we give them, and these are all available on their site and on our site in Georgia. So knowing the recommendations, they need to know what fertilizer or what fertilizer to apply. So we have a fertilizer calculator also developed for other purposes that we designed for the purpose, because we in the U.S. we use the English system. There they use the metric system, so we have to convert in kilograms per hectare or kilograms per some square meters. In this case here, you have the recommendation that they would just put in there on their screen. Fortunately, they already have the internet connection. They didn't have internet connection for so long, so it took a while for this to get adapted. They will identify what's the fertilizer, what are the fertilizers available in their area. So they would pick here, and then they can do their, they can pick their area, what's the size, or if they don't know the size, they can figure out what's the shape and give us the dimension of the area. And then the next thing they can do is calculate the fertilizer. And in here, it gives them the different fertilizer combinations and what are the nutrients that's been applied. It will show in this section here and what's being applied in excess of what is recommended. And the score here is the score that will tell him the higher the score, the better fertilizer combination. Here in the U.S., we have the luxury of being able to get 100% of the score. But there, they have limited sources. So that's why, in this case, the 87 is better than what they got at 65. So this is really what they have now. They and I have to tell you, they've been running that lab for 2 years already. And I'm told, bragging aside, it's the only working soil testing in Haiti. Now do you want me to go back there and bring more sophisticated instruments? I said, hold on. We cannot do that. I need well-trained people. Because I think the key is we're able to train the right people to run the lab. So there are more things to do in Haiti, but it's really been a challenge because of the internet, because of the lack of the right kind of water to use. But there's enthusiasm. And there's a lot of smart people out there, and there's a lot of dedicated people to do this. So we're in fact excited. At one point, Bill Gates' family visited that lab. We were in Georgia, but they were there. I saw the pictures, and it's like, oh, right, maybe we'll get some funding because there's a lot of things to do there. And also Bill Clinton. So who knows what will happen in the future, but the lab is a functional lab. We're so proud of that. Thank you. I guess you can ask me questions later because I am just up the time.